Today on Seculo, a whistleblower and ACLJ client wins big against Biden's FBI.
Keeping you informed and engaged, now more than ever. This is Seculo. We want to hear from you. Share and post your comments or call 1-800-684-3110. And now your host, Jordan Seculo.
All right, welcome back to Seculo. Folks, we've got a big victory to announce today from the ACLJ, and it's on behalf of those whistleblowers. And let me tell you something, folks. Being a whistleblower is no easy task, and we know that from Washington, D.C. We can take you back to a year and a month ago, right, last August, when people like Marcus R. Allen and Garrett O'Boyle got up in front of Congress and the American people and testified about what happens when you question the authorities within the FBI, going through the proper channels, okay, not trying to, again, subvert your job, but going through the proper channels, and what happens to you internally. Your job's taken away, your pay's taken away, but you can't get another job, and your security clearance hangs in the balance, so you can't utilize that to get a job in the private sector. Remember, we represent Marcus Allen. We also represent Garrett O'Boyle, and we worked with Empower America on this, and I want to just remind you about who these individuals were. So Marcus Allen was a Marine. He served in Iraq, received numerous awards. He also received the Employee of the Year Award at the FBI. Then he sent an email to his superior. This was about, again, he was specifically questioning the narrative that was coming out of the FBI about January 6th. Now, this is when the FBI was in its phases trying to figure out exactly, remember the January 6th committee? Remember, they were coming to exactly who was responsible, how organized was it? You know, how much thought went into this? Was it pre-planned? Was it a crowd that got out of control? And shouldn't, if you're the FBI, part of your job to investigate is to figure out, you know, what do you think was the likely case? You can make the best report possible, and then people that are higher up than you can take that information, do with it what they want. The Department of Justice can decide ultimately to prosecute or not. They have decided to do that with some individuals, but they didn't like that Marcus was even looking at this specific narrative. So, Will, they suspend his pay, but they don't fire you.
Right.
So they keep you in limbo, but what they also do is they take your security clearance, keep that in limbo, which basically keeps you out from being able to say, I quit, I'm going to the private sector. So today we can announce Marcus has been vindicated and he's gotten his security clearance, top secret security clearance back.
That's right. So for 2.5 years almost, Marcus Allen, who was a decorated soldier, a decorated employee at the FBI, was unable to provide for his family to make ends meet because the FBI had suspended his pay since January of 2022. And he was unable to seek outside work because he was still technically an employee of the FBI, so he couldn't go work for someone else. Could not receive gifts because that would appear that he was maybe improperly receiving a gift for how his employment would work at the FBI. They didn't want any odor of mendacity, as we've heard in some other cases, over his employment, although he could not work. And also, they, as you mentioned, suspended his security clearance. So he couldn't just leave the FBI and go work somewhere else because that's a valuable asset that he has to make himself marketable in a similar field. So
yeah,
2.5 years.
If you're coming out of the FBI and the military and now you're going into the private sector, without that security clearance, you can't get a job in Washington, D.C. I mean, that you're getting hired because you've been entrusted with that level of security clearance.
Right.
And I mean, that's a top secret level. So you have to understand, folks, does it mean it's easy to be a whistleblower in Biden's America? Absolutely not. But can you get vindication? You can. And we worked for that at the ACLJ. We took your dollars. These are your dollars at work. Folks, support the ACLJ at aclj.org. We have a petition as well to stand with the whistleblowers, defeat government corruption. Go to aclj.org/sign right now. But I do just want to just underscore that. This justice, to receive this justice, to get this vindication, is a multi-year battle that we engage in because of your support for the ACLJ. If you want to give us a call, 1-800-684-3110. We'll answer your questions as best we can. We'll be right back on Seculo. All right, so that might have been a lot. So I want to again go over this and also remind you, if you're watching the broadcast, we'll play the video and you'll hear the audio if you're listening to the broadcast of Marcus Allen testifying before Congress. So you remember that was about a year and a month ago or so that the ACLJ got involved right after and that testimony. And you remember it was a testimony about how basically the FBI crushed them, you know, and it puts your life not even on hold, because your life's on hold if maybe you're getting your salary, but you're not necessarily making it to the next level inside the FBI. Maybe you're not, you know, increasing your career opportunities. But when you can't get a job because they're gonna hold your security clearance hostage and a top secret security clearance, which is the way you would go into the private sector, which, by the way, this decorated Marine and FBI agent was not looking to do. It's not like they were looking to leave their jobs. They were, and even the title whistleblower, because initially they were going through all the regular channels internally and they were shut down from the inside. So I want you to hear from Marcus Allen directly and just remind you the individuals that we represent at the American Center for Law and Justice so that you know if you're a donor, a good example of where your dollars are going to make sure this individual, this American hero, gets vindication and justice. So take a listen or watch.
As the holder of a top secret security clearance since 2001, I've been trusted with the nation's greatest secrets. So why am I here today? Despite my history of unblemished service to the United States, the FBI suspended my security clearance, accusing me of actually being disloyal to my country. This outrageous and insulting accusation is based on unsubstantiated accusations that I hold conspiratorial views regarding the events of January 6, 2021, and that I allegedly sympathize with criminal conduct. I do not.
All right, so there you go. And I want to go right to Ben Sisney in Washington, D.C., one of our senior counsels. And Ben, I just to walk people through, because I want to remind them as well, while Marcus Allen has been vindicated today and he has received justice and he has received his security clearance and can go now provide for his family after 2 years and being in this like suspended level, if you will. We also represent another whistleblower from that same day, Garrett O'Boyle, who continues to be in this situation, and we're actually filing a reply brief in federal court this week. So it comes at a very unique time with Marcus Allen and then Garrett O'Boyle.
Yeah, you're right, Jordan. There's a lot going on, and even particularly here in these whistleblower cases, we're getting some momentum. And you were so right earlier. Our supporters allow us, and they to take on these battles, to turn their gifts into action, meaningful action that's changing the dialogue and changing the conversation here in Washington. And that's hard to do. Every one of us part of this broadcast understands how hard it is to change things in Washington and to go against the establishment. In our clients, Garrett O'Boyle, the one you mentioned with our appeal pending in the D.C. Circuit, and then in Marcus Allen, who we just got this huge win for, are testimonial to that. I mean, their bravery and their courage is commendable, Jordan. I mean, you want to talk about putting your money where your mouth is and being at the tip of the spear. These guys stood up to the beast. You know what? And we were able to stand up with them. And we're getting results. We got the FBI on our appeal for Garrett O'Boyle. They tried to stop our appeal and have it tossed out before it even got started. We got past that successfully. We're at the merit stage. That's coming up. You mentioned our brief is due Friday. We're working on that too. And it's just, there's so much going on, but we get to stand with these folks because of our supporters, and I'm so grateful for that.
And to remind people in Garrett O'Boyle's situation, two different situations that they get targeted over, and which I'll get to in a second, this targeting of whistleblowers, which is not how the law is supposed to work. But he was blowing the whistle on the threat tags and the fact that parents at school board meetings were getting threat tags. And remember, all of this is how we confirmed the biases that we felt like was ongoing at the FBI at their highest levels. You know, that they've been putting spies into churches. And then that sounds absurd, and then you actually get the report, and you realize, yes, they actually have done that. And then you have these actual FBI agents testify to the fact. But in Garrett O'Boyle's case, you know, what it speaks to, Ben, again, we could get justice, we could get vindication, but there is still a lot of work to do when it comes to these whistleblowers, because it's not supposed to be like this. If you're on the inside and you're a good employee and you do blow the whistle, your life shouldn't be, they shouldn't try to ruin your life and even get away with it for 2 years.
That's right. And remember, just a couple of weeks ago, we were announcing the Department of Justice, OIG, Inspector General's Office, putting out a memo that called out the FBI, among other agencies, for not following the law, the statutory requirements. And the excuse was, well, it was COVID. Too bad they haven't started following the law since then.
Right.
These battles go on. We have a lot of work to do because at the end of the day, Jordan, the law has to change. And either it can change with a court, an Article 3 court, changing it, which we're going that route with Garrett O'Boyle, or congressionally on the Hill, and we're working with allies across the ideological spectrum, by the way, because there are groups across the divide that all agree the law needs to change because the protections for whistleblowers are meaningless if they're applied the way they've been applied, and it's not going to change unless we take the action to make it change. So we're just going to keep swinging.
Yeah, and I think this is obviously a situation. In his case, it's 2 years later, he ultimately does get his total back pay. So we secured that reimbursement for things like health insurance and retirement benefits. But none of that was a given. So again, to blow the whistle, when you kind of scratch your head and say, wow, we hear all these horrible things that are going on, but not many people, you've put a face to it. You know, we see these the directors basically who have to come testify, the attorney general's doing today, and they kind of make their statements and go through the ringer, and then they know they'll go through the ringer again and they'll come back. But you don't see kind of the mid-level folks and the folks who are carrying out the job, because this is what happened. You're not supposed to have a government agency with the power to retaliate against whistleblowers, people who are going through the process as you should in good faith. They are either working with Office of Inspector General's will. I mean, they are going through the proper channels. And yet right now in the United States, these two are an example that, and again, I love that we can ultimately secure the win and secure justice and vindication. But they are, I mean, how many people are willing to go through this?
Well, and this is also the concern going forward, as Ben talked about needing change coming from Capitol Hill, is that while, yes, we won for Marcus Allen and we are fighting to win for Garrett O'Boyle, the problem is the FBI now has this record where they suspended security clearance, his pay, wouldn't let him get outside employment, really drug him through unimaginable circumstances for nearly 2.5 years where he couldn't provide for his family. And all because he was following proper procedure of whistleblowers. Now, do you think that's going to have a chilling effect on other potential whistleblowers? Sure, after 2.5 years, he gets back pay. This is a great win. He can actually go work in a comparable field and probably do much better than a government salary, hopefully, after this ordeal. But do you think other whistleblowers may see, like, man, I'm really looking to not make a living and provide for my family for 2.5 years just because I see something that's a little wrong here?
No, and a bit, I mean, to underscore this, too, for someone like Garrett O'Boyle, who we're fighting for as well, I mean, he got moved halfway across. He had the story of moved halfway across the country. And then he gets suspended. He gets his job taken away, pay taken away, security clearance taken away, but couldn't even get his furniture out of storage.
Yeah, yeah. They make it personal, and what you're getting at is why he said in front of Congress, they'll crush you and your family if you dare to stand up against them. And he got that kind of crushing. Marcus Allen got a slightly different kind of crushing, but it's all a crushing, and it's all on purpose. It's not an accident. It's not a coincidence. This is the design. This is the message. And this is what keeps good Americans, agents of the FBI, and for that matter, other law enforcement agencies, it discourages them from coming out, because you've got to consider your family. It's not just you against the FBI. It's you have a family to take care of. And the FBI knows this, and they do this on purpose. And it's unbelievable. And the law's been letting them get away with it. But we're trying to change that, Jordan. That's what we're doing. And today was a big step.
Yeah, folks. Again, we encourage you to support the work of the ACLJ. We're thrilled about the victory in the sense that we've got the vindication for Marcus Allen. We're going to be in court Friday with Garrett O'Boyle. And again, that these whistleblowers who have been brave enough to go through this process, not that they wanted to go through this process, but the process that was put upon them for raising their hand, for questioning authority, for vindicating also so much of what we've talked about and the issues inside the FBI. This is the power of your donations at work, the power of our donors, the power of our ACLJ champions, all make these moments possible. And we do believe that this vindicates, and again, I mean, you get justice, you get vindication, folks. Support the work of the ACLJ. Take action with us. Go to aclj.org/sign right now. We've got a petition up to defend the whistleblowers and defeat corruption today. We know that these, again, you can efface with the facts. And these are the people willing to give that to us. We've got to be willing to stand and fight for them. We'll be right back on Seculo. To Seculo. As we said, we are very excited to announce this victory, and we were worked with our friends at Empower Oversight, empoweroversight.org. The president of Empower Oversight, Tristan Levitz, joining us now. Tristan, you've been on this broadcast before when this began over a year ago, and then for you, it was 2 years ago starting to represent these whistleblowers. I want to kind of focus on how we got here in the first place, because both of these individuals, Marcus Allen, who ultimately gets the vindication and the justice so that he could go and continue his life, Garrett O'Boyle, who we're going into federal court for with a reply brief on Friday at the D.C. Court of Appeals with the FBI trying to get it tossed out. But the idea that a whistleblower who follows through the correct channels that have been set up by Congress can still be retaliated against this way so openly by the FBI. And yes, we can take these individuals and ultimately get justice, but you think about it, if other people look at this situation, it's not like it's you got people running to become whistleblowers, which is why we so often we get these reports, we don't have a face or a name to put with the information that gets to Congress, that gets to investigators. So I kind of want to walk through people that. Why is there our laws, or is it the agencies that aren't protecting these individuals?
Well, in this case, it's a combination of both. So when the modern whistleblower protection laws were written in 1978, the FBI was given special treatment. And that was the state of affairs for several decades. Right here on the wall next to me in my office is a framed copy of a law that we passed in 2016 to strengthen the laws for FBI whistleblowers. So it used to be the FBI whistleblowers' disclosures to their supervisors weren't even protected, unlike every other type of federal employee whistleblower where those are protected. So there have been some strengthening, but there really ultimately are still just a lot of weaknesses in that law. And so that's why for Marcus Allen, he had to go to the Justice Department Inspector General instead of going to the Office of Special Counsel where he used to work, or the Merit Systems Protection Board he used to sit on. All other federal employees, by and large, can go to those things. So you've got weak laws, you've got weak process, and you've got an agency that just is retaliatory, that tries to push out those that don't have views similar to those in its, you know, echelons of leadership.
Yeah, and Marcus's situation, I mean, he's an Iraq war veteran, American here, goes in continuous service to the country. None of these individuals, and you work with them at Empower Oversight, but when they're coming to you and they know, they feel like, you know, they've got to take this path as a whistleblower or go through Congress. I don't think any of them are trying to become a name or a story. You know, oftentimes in our world, in the media world, you see these individuals were doing their job. They were going to, in Garrett O'Boyle's case, he was just starting a new position with the FBI the day he gets suspended. He had just moved, just had a child. And that day gets suspended. I mean, they're not trying to become, you know, a name in the world that we work in, but they have to survive and ultimately then to seek justice. Which, I mean, I'm glad groups. I thank our donors and your donors to Empower Oversight, because again, to fight these 2 year battles against an agency that has an endless coffers to go and try to take these rights away from individuals and ruin their life, so that they can't even work. I mean, maybe walk people, Tristan, to the power of these security clearances to have that top secret clearance. When that's suspended, you can't just say, well, I quit, I'll go get a job. I mean, you're basically, it's like your life is on hold.
Right. Absolutely. And that's an FBI unique construct. So other agencies as well, if your security clearance is suspended, you're not able to work. But the FBI particularly uses the suspension of security clearances very frequently for cases that have nothing to do with security allegations. So, you know, again, in this case for Marcus Allen, it was disclosures to his leadership about FBI Director Chris Wray potentially misleading Congress in his testimony. That's a significant disclosure. And so if there are concerns about that, there's ways that the FBI could respond to that. But suspending a security clearance sets off a process where he's without pay, any request for outside work was denied. And so that's where you end up with him receiving 27 months of back pay, because for all of that time, he was unjustly, you know, not compensated. And so now he has both his back pay, his benefits, all of this coming back to him. But you think of how long someone, you know, going that long without a paycheck, it's just outrageous. Yeah. And again, you don't see that in most other agencies. And of course, the Justice Department Inspector General put out a report just several weeks ago talking about how this is really a stacked deck against whistleblowers. Because even if someone absolutely does everything in the right way, makes protected disclosures, absolutely is a whistleblower, the kind of person we want to protect, the FBI has no obligations to move quickly in any way on that security clearance adjudication. So that's why Marcus went a year before there was ever a proposed revocation. And then once they proposed the revocation, we requested the documents behind it. It's another 6 months before we get the documents. We write a response to them. It's another 6 months before we get a decision here. And so this is just a process that's designed to squeeze out whistleblowers, to bleed them drop by drop until they can't fight the FBI anymore.
Yeah. And we exist, and you exist, and your organization exists as well, because we say, you know what, we can fight those battles with you for those 2 years if we've got to, and go through the court process that we need to make sure you get your back pay, to make sure you're reinstated. But it shouldn't be that way. And I wanted to ask you too, even about the reports, they're even trying to utilize this kind of settlement and moving forward to say, well, we don't need the report anymore from the Inspector General.
Yeah, and that's a little bit of a tricky, I mean, it is often the case in agencies that if someone had filed and then they engage in a settlement, then they'll withdraw the complaint, sure. Right? And so then the investigating agency has to make a decision about whether or not to issue a report. You know, of course, we sent a letter today in Power Oversight to Inspector General Michael Horowitz, waiving any Privacy Act rights on the part of Marcus Allen, to say, we encourage you to go and speak about what you found about his case. We're not afraid of anything. We're not trying to hide behind the Privacy Act. Go tell the world, go tell the press, go tell Congress what you discovered about the whistleblower retaliation complaint that we filed on Marcus's behalf. And so we're, you know, we're very hopeful that they will take that opportunity to explain what they found, because, yeah, just getting this corrective action for Marcus is good. We want to make sure it doesn't happen for other people. And so yeah, that means that we, you know, we have to expose the process that led to this and the FBI abuses that put Marcus in a position where the FBI could walk all over him for 27 months and he couldn't do anything about it until now.
Tristan, we appreciate, of course, we continue to work with you guys at Empower Oversight with Garrett O'Boyle. And if we do with others, we will with others, and appreciate your team's work on this. And also standing with these whistleblowers, because folks, again, as you heard from Tristan, 27 months without pay. You know, we got involved in this, I guess it's about 13 months ago when we start, you go through the court process. So right as you were seeing them testify, we start going into federal court. And in Garrett O'Boyle's situation, we're just at the Court of Appeals reply brief level this Friday. And again, we're still fighting to get back pay. You're still fighting to make sure that his life can be put on track. So while we've got this great victory for Marcus Allen, let's not forget Garrett O'Boyle, and let's make sure in that situation that again, he is vindicated, that he receives that justice as well. Because when we talk about this, we talk about the FBI, we talk about the weaponization of law enforcement. I mean, to be able to put two different topics, but to be able to actually put names with the story, it's very important. It's not just leaks coming out of the agencies. That's not what we're supporting here at the ACLJ. We're talking about individuals trying to do the right thing inside these agencies that have been corrupted, that have been just overrun with abuse. But you can get vindication and you can get justice. We thank you for standing with the ACLJ, as again, it's a great example of your donations at work. I mean, if just that, it's your donations at work, the champions who donate each month automatically at ACLJ.org. And we encourage you as well to sign and stand with a petition for these whistleblowers As you heard, there's work to do. As Tristan said, we're going to do that policy work as well at aclj.org/sign.
Keeping you informed and engaged, now more than ever. This is Seculo. And now your host, Jordan Seculo.
Right now, as we're talking about these, of course, whistleblowers, the Attorney General is talking about the corruption inside the Department of Justice, the weaponization, and he's having to testify as well about Joe Biden and the testimony. We've got questions, I think, that have come in about that. We'll take those in a minute. If you want to talk to us on air, the number is 1-800-684-3110. So just to update you, we've got a victory for Marcus Allen. He is the whistleblower, one of the two whistleblowers you saw. They testified about it 13 months ago to Congress and the Weaponization Committee, which is part of the Committee on the Judiciary. And so Chairman Jordan's committee, and they testified to different acts, but the same retaliation for even raising their hand to question the acts within the FBI. In Marcus Allen's case, I want to play this sound from you. You may remember, he's getting attacked by Democrats on the committee, and they're trying to tie him to Twitter accounts even that aren't his. So you might remember this one. Take a listen or watch.
Thank you. Mr. Allen, have you ever used Twitter? Yes or no?
I have utilized Twitter, yes.
Okay, and is your account at MarcusA97050645?
That is absolutely not my account.
Okay, that's not your account. Well, on December 5th, 2022, an account under the name Marcus Allen retweeted a tweet that said,
"That is not my account, ma'am."
You haven't let me finish the question,
sir.
Might
have been the football player.
I mean, that's not his. He literally tells the member of Congress, "It's not my account," and Will, yet she's keeps going, trying to tie. I mean, again, there are other people named Marcus Allen, but it's not his account. I don't think he would have claimed that to Congress under oath unless he knew it wasn't his account. And yet still, she didn't just say, okay, fine, and move on. They have to just read what their staff prepared for.
That's right. And specifically, the tweet was about whether or not the tweet said Nancy Pelosi staged January 6th. Yeah. And so she's asking him about a tweet. And when he says it's not my account, she still has to push one because the staffer prepared it for her. But push, well, do you agree with this other random Marcus Allen on Twitter? Which is an absurd thing. That's almost like meeting someone with the same name as you. If you met another Jordan Seculo, now in your case, maybe you are related, but saying, oh, we have the same name, maybe we're related. It's just such an absurd juxtaposition. Yep. That they're trying to draw him to an anonymous random Twitter user and say, this guy clearly is an insurrectionist. That's the bottom line. They were trying to claim this decorated veteran and employee of the year for the Charlotte field office was an insurrectionist.
Because he was questioning to make sure that when the FBI was doing its investigation, at that point, remember, they were going in and arresting people. And people had gone home who had participated in the riots that had occurred. So they were then going and they were arresting people. They were trying to put together, this is a conspiracy. What charges are we bringing? That's at the Supreme Court. I mean, right now, what charges can you actually bring against these individuals? And some of that is being challenged. And all he wasn't doing is to say, it didn't happen. He wasn't saying it was wrong, as he testified there too. He doesn't believe that Nancy Pelosi was organizing January 6th, and you know, because she went on with that questioning, even though that wasn't his account. And by the way, that never like got challenged that, oh, he did have some account. And ultimately, he gets his vindication and his justice today. But you know, 13 months after testifying, and I think you know, for you might see these individuals and think, you know, I love this. I'm so excited about what they do. But how many of you probably moved on, may have even forgotten? And I'm not wronging you for that. It's, you know, you've got life goes on, work goes on for you, but we don't at the ACLJ, and that is what I underscore is. You might have thought, okay, you moved on to the third or fourth or fifth other topic that's occurred that is so, you know, kind of enraging. But if you support the work of the ACLJ, you can. Because you're supporting the work to know that we're not moving on. We're going to stay with these individuals to get them the justice they need, to get them the vindication they deserve. And so I encourage you to support the work of the ACLJ at aclj.org. As well, you can sign our petitions, of course. We've got a petition up to defend the whistleblowers, defeat government corruption. It's a major task. It shouldn't be impossible to be a whistleblower Go to aclj.org/sign. We'll be right back. All right, welcome back to Seculo again, as we've talked about in Marcus Allen's situation. And we've played for you those bites just to remind you again. It kind of reminds you of the work that you're supporting at the American Center for Law and Justice. We're joined by our chief counsel, Jay Sekulow, my dad. And dad, I wanted to kind of underscore this for people because, you know, we reminded them that this has been a 13-month battle for the ACLJ, a 2-year battle for Marcus Allen. It's a continued battle for Garrett O'Boyle, where we're preparing a reply brief against the FBI in federal court this Friday to get this vindication so that ultimately we could get to the change in the laws so that future whistleblowers don't have to go through this process. But it was, to me, it was like, it's a great example to our donors. They don't have to follow this every day. They don't have to live this every day. But maybe they donated 22 months ago. They may not even remember donating that day, but to see that their donation's at work.
Well, this is it. I mean, it's a gigantic win. You and I were talking about this last night. I mean, it is very rare that the government will concede a case, which is what they've done here, and reinstate a security clearance. Usually, and they have done this in cases we're involved in, they dig their heels in. But in this particular case, we push back very aggressively. As you mentioned, Garrett O'Boyle case, we are in the U.S. Court of Appeals for the District of Columbia on that one. That's where that actually starts the litigation there at the Court of Appeals. But I cannot underscore enough the significance of this win. It's a win for Marcus Allen, but as important, it's a win for the American people that a whistleblower will not be denied their security clearance, which ends up becoming how they make a living. Jordan, as you mentioned, this was a decorated military veteran, a decorated member of the Federal Bureau of Investigation, and when they lose their security clearance, they are basically unemployable at that time. And here we've seen not only the reestablishment of his security clearance, which will change his family's trajectory, but also a vindication of his rights, that he was well within his rights when he spoke out, and the government had to concede that he did nothing that violated his clearance. So that's a huge win. I mean, I think it's in the realm of security clearance, it's the biggest win we've ever seen.
Yes, I mean, I think that's important to underscore, because most of the time, folks aren't going to hear about these cases because there aren't cases. I mean, usually, but we've seen specifically, we're talking to Tristan Levitt before, and it's the FBI that's got this unique power to kind of suspend you, to put you in this suspense situation where you're not getting paid, but you've got your security clearance that you're fighting for, and so you really can't go get another job, because without that, the security clearance, or you'd have to start a new career at some point. These are usually folks, again, who already had served in Iraq, already had served in the military. And again, without that security clearance, it's a dark mark on your service to try and go get another job somewhere else. That they still have this power, which we are fighting with Garrett O'Boyle. But it also, I mean, Dad, you know, because they suspend your pay, it's not like you can go hire a law firm to fight this out for him for years. He had no money coming in.
Well, not only did he have no money, but it's kind of like being removed from the military with a dishonorable discharge.
Yes.
I mean, it's a mark against your record that is almost impossible to overcome in a lifetime. And you talk about legal expenses. You know, the FBI was able to put these agents and analysts in a very, very difficult position because, as you said, they didn't fire them, but they suspended their security clearance. They suspended them without pay. They ruled that they could not accept gifts from third parties. So they were basically rudderless. There was nothing they could do to support their family. And here, again, a huge thank you to our ACLJ members, because we had the ultimate victory here, which is the reinstatement of that security clearance. You can't get a bigger win than that.
No, and I want to underscore that. Let's underscore that part for people, too, because to fight this out, I mean, usually it's not this, you don't even get this publicly. So we had a year and a month ago, we had the testimony that we played for people before Congress. But to actually get that vindication and receive that letter, that we could put, I don't know if we've got it for the screen, we can put up on the screen from the
letter,
FBI.
Yeah, we can put that up.
Of the reinstatement of a top secret security clearance. That is something, again, Dad, I've never seen before, but I think it also, it sets that predicate for the future as well, for Garrett O'Boyle's case, and for others who feel like they've got nowhere else to go, and that they've seen something, or that something is being done inside their agency that they can't just let go, that they've got to speak up. And in their situation, they followed the rules, but this shows you how the FBI and law enforcement. We talked about the weaponization. There's a hearing on that right now with the Attorney General of the United States about this weaponization. It just shows what they can do to these individuals and why we don't usually then get a face, get a name, get someone who can actually come and testify to Congress from the FBI, because no one is willing to do what these individuals have gone through.
Well, I mean, because they're putting their entire career and the livelihood of their families at stake. And Marcus Allen, by the way, received accolades from the FBI as like the FBI analyst of the year for his region, which was out of Charlotte, North Carolina. And for the FBI then to turn on these individuals, and Jordan, we had a fight. I mean, the fight was against the United States Department of Justice, because the FBI, remember, is part of the Justice Department. So we were fighting not only the FBI, but the Justice Department. And to see this ultimate vindication of a total and 100% win for Marcus Allen is just, it's breathtaking in scope. And again, a huge thank you to our ACLJ members who put their money where their thoughts are and their mouth is, and not only spoke out, but put their funds to work. And as you said, this would have cost Marcus Allen's family hundreds of thousands of dollars in legal fees, which they didn't have. And I was glad that we were able to bring this victory to him.
Yeah, I feel like the fortunate part is that here we've got the FBI and the Department of Justice having to put, you know, their security clearance back again, kind of unprecedented to even see these letters and to get that kind of win and to get their back pay for 27 months and to get their even, you know, their services, to get their health care and their insurance. But also the sad part about this is that the FBI's lost one of the good guys in these situations.
I mean,
you have to remember that these are the people who are willing to go from being a Marine serving in Iraq to going right into government service, serving at the FBI. And because they question a narrative internally, they get exposed as some kind of bad actor. And we lose these good guys.
Yeah, the real loser here was the American people, as you said, who lost a committed patriot, a military veteran, and an FBI analyst who was serving his country. And we lose the good guy. And that's the unfortunate thing. But again, underscore here with bold letters that his security clearance has been reinstated, which means he will be able to work in the private sector, which will also help the country. But again, the FBI's lesson in this should be that they never put themselves in a situation again where they question someone. It's like a member of Congress saying, "Are you that Marcus Allen?" He says no, and she still plays the audio. That tells you how bad the politics of this have become.
Yeah, Dad, we appreciate you joining us. And again, I think to underscore all of this, we have to celebrate the vindication. You have to celebrate the justice. And you remember, I think, Will, what it goes to exactly, every time I think about it, is that those donors that day who may have donated to the ACLJ, they may not have even remembered exactly when that was 13 months ago. You know, to them, that to be able to place it. But they, you know, the reminders of seeing the testimony, they, of course, remember that. But you think about all the other issues we've talked about since then, or all the other work the ACLJ. But it underscores what we're doing inside the ACLJ that we're not always able to talk about this broadcast each day. But that, you know, when we've got movement, when we've got these successes, we're able to remind people this is the long-term work. And again, in this situation, in 13 months, able to get this vindication for whistleblower, which in the world of the law, as we talked about, is unprecedented and not a long time.
Well, and this is something you and I talked about outside of radio yesterday, where we had a very high-profile win earlier this year, and that was in the case where they were trying to get Donald Trump off the ballot in Colorado. We represented the Republican Party of Colorado, and because of the expedited basis at the Supreme Court and the quickness of which they released an opinion, we got a very quick win in something that traditionally could have taken years. But what we do at the ACLJ is we make a commitment to our clients and to our members that we're going to see it through and that we're going to fight. And many times, as you mentioned, you don't see us talking about things every day, because in the external facing world, there's not a ton to really say. But the work is ongoing. The attorneys are working. The media team is working. Everyone here is working to try to bring about justice for our clients and for our members, and to make America better as we continue these fights. And as this one you bring up, it took for Marcus Allen almost 2.5 years for us being as a part of it as counsel. It took 13 months and we have a good result, but we do keep fighting. Even when you don't hear about it, we keep fighting for our members and for our clients.
That's, again, what we encourage you to support the work of the ACLJ and the American Center for Law and Justice at ACLJ.org. I think, you know, our donor. I want to thank all of our donors. And I do want to remind people, you may not have remembered donating that day, but you said you heard these stories, you said, I've got to donate. And then we come back, you know, a year later and say, thank you for the win. Thank you for making sure you made that donation that day because it was made sure that we could get involved. And then for those who donated a month ago, it keeps us involved. And again, we can't go through every case we're reminding you to do every single day on this broadcast. But what we can do is thank you for those resources and just kind of show you how we're able to utilize your resources to get a win for the good guys, to get justice, to get vindication. As we said, an unprecedented win here to get the security clearance back of one of the good guys. We'll be right back on Seculo. Welcome back to Seculo. So for those of you just joining us, and again, it can be a lot of information to take in, we've got this big win for Marcus Allen. He was one of the FBI whistleblowers who testified a year and a month ago before Congress and Jim Jordan's The Weaponization of Government, that subcommittee within the Judiciary Committee. And it got a lot of attention, you know, that hearing. And I'm sure you're kind of reminding yourself about it as we speak. I want to make sure you know that for Marcus Allen, we also represent Garrett O'Boyle. We're in federal court with representing him on Friday and hope to get him the same again, to get the justice and the vindication. And why do I say the justice and the vindication? In Marcus Allen's case, he gets total back pay for 27 months, his reimbursement for his health insurance, his retirement benefits, and again, his security clearance. So in a separate document, you get from the FBI, and we can put up on the screen how he received his top secret security clearance back. And what this underscores for me, and again, the filing on Friday, is that we can get justice, we can get vindication, and in these battles you engage with us, sometimes they're quick. Sometimes you get to you're very quick to the Supreme Court. The 14th Amendment case was a great example of that happening at kind of, you know, record speed. Others, again, you likely remember these whistleblowers. You may not have remembered where we were in the process of getting them justice, or the fact that we would even be able to get. I mean, as you heard from my dad, I mean, this is unprecedented to get this kind of vindication for these individuals because of the retribution that we have seen the FBI be able to lay out on others who may even think about choosing to speak out and become these the so-called, you know, whistleblowers, and they're supposed to have protections, but yet their protections get totally violated. And in this case, 13 months later, 27 months for him total in fighting, but he didn't have to go hire a law firm. That's because of you. He didn't have to go and figure out, how am I going to pay multiple people and file, you know, on these cases before the various federal courts, for these agencies. Garrett O'Boyle doesn't have to worry about that. And that is because of the work of the ACLJ, and that is because of you, our donors. And we often talk about this, but these are cases, because they are intensive cases that take a lot of time and individuals, so they're expensive. And you don't usually hear us even say that. And the reason why we don't have to say that is because of you, the donor, puts us in the position where we don't even have to think about that. When individuals like this, and it's an opportunity to represent American heroes who take that stand, who are willing to stand out and say, this is wrong, or to question something, we're able to jump right in at the ACLJ. We don't have to think twice about, do we have the resources to do this? And these are cases that take up some of the most resources, the most time. You are fighting against the entire Department of Justice externally as they are representing the FBI, but also the FBI falls under the Department of Justice. I want to remind you why we fight and play for you again. And if you're just joining us this first half hour, this is Marcus Allen testifying last August, so 13 months ago. Take a listen and watch.
As the holder of a top secret security clearance since 2001, I've been trusted with the nation's greatest secrets. So why am I here today? Despite my history of unblemished service to the United States, the FBI suspended my security clearance, accusing me of actually being disloyal to my country. This outrageous and insulting accusation is based on unsubstantiated accusations that I hold conspiratorial views regarding the events of January 6, 2021, and that I allegedly sympathize with criminal conduct. I do not.
All right. I mean, so again, you likely remember that because it got a lot of attention. We'll go to the people's phone calls, 1-800-684-3110. But again, I just wanted to remind you, I'm sure if we look back on that day that we announced that we were representing those individuals, a lot of you donated. You shared those stories. You went online. You shared the story. You shared the information with people. You may have made a donation to the ACLJ. You may have become an ACLJ monthly donor, recurring monthly donor, an ACLJ champion that day. And you might have forgotten about where that case stands. I understand that. We've talked about a lot of other things since August of 2022 and August of 2023 when the ACLJ gets involved. But it's how we utilize the resources that you make sure are there for us and then for our clients. We never had to think about whether or not the money would be there or the resources would be there to know that this was going to be an intensive, kind of fact-intensive battle, and that at many points would feel uphill. You know, as my dad said in the last segment, getting vindication, not just monetarily, but getting that top secret security clearance back is huge. This is not the norm in Washington. The norm in Washington is they talk about the FBI, they ruin your life. And our other client in this matter, Garrett O'Boyle, also with the FBI, he testified to that as well. We'll go to your phone calls now, 1-800-684-3110.
Yeah, let's go to Joni calling in New Hampshire on line one, listening on Sirius XM. Joni, you're on the air.
Hey, guys. I love your program, like everybody who listens to you does. I'm calling to say I haven't forgotten about the whistleblowers. That's why I became an ACLJ champion. And I appreciate all the other wrongs you addressed, but that every week I wonder what's up with those whistleblowers, those amazing patriots. So I'm really glad to hear the current news. And I wonder about why are we wondering why the FBI has problems when their headquarters building is named the J. Edgar Hoover Building?
Right.
You know, I do think, and I want to say thank you, Jody, because again, we're able to do this work and we get to empower our attorneys, Ben Sizzi, who joined us, and our team, most from our team who you're not even going to ever hear from on our broadcast or see on our broadcast if you watch it, to take on these battles knowing, but they don't have to worry about the cost. You know, a law firm, they have to do a cost. Can Marcus hire them? Can he afford to hire them? Or even if they did recoup his back pay, how much would the firm take of that back pay? ACLJ doesn't have to do that. I don't, in any of these processes, even have to worry, which is awesome in these situations, to be able not to worry about whether or not we can afford to do this or take this case or not, because that's I think what's happening here, and people see it over and over again, is that people are scared to fight these battles because they don't have the resources to do it. And we have to remind them, kind of that stand in the gap, to remind them and say, wait, there are groups out there that will take you on if you're the FBI and the Department of Justice, not afraid, and will fight that battle as long as they have to for the right folks.
And remember, we took on the IRS when the Tea Party groups were targeted for their conservative beliefs. We aren't afraid to go up against the traditionally scariest government agencies and fight them. And we can't do that without the ACLJ members, but we do it on behalf of those members because we know that they want to see corruption rooted out. Yep. They want to see a better America, a more whole America of what we should be, not littered with corruption and agencies that go after people because of their views.
We can't continue these fights without you. Just to underscore it again, when these issues come to us, I don't have to think, can I fund this? Can we support this work? This might take years to do. I won't be able to talk about it every day on the broadcast, but it's worth the fight, of course, to vindicate and receive justice for these American heroes, which we can't do without you. Go to aclj.org/side, sign the petition. Think about becoming an ACLJ champion or making a donation today at aclj.org. We'll talk to you tomorrow.